Hello and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn. And the title of today's episode is Valentine's Day. Yes, you knew it was coming. For the love of mollusks.
Yes, that's right. We actually are doing a holiday-themed episode on or about the actual holiday that it's about. We kind of messed up with Arbor Day and, of course, Bastille Day. That was a big fiasco.
St. Swithin's Day, yeah. A disaster.
Yeah. So we know that when you listen to Men in Charge, you're often wanting to get romantic advice or how to put more love into your life.
We often are asked for romantic advice.
That's right.
Isn't that the case? Yeah.
So this episode is
not
is
by
our,
humans.
Yeah. This episode is our gift to you, and please don't return it for the money back.
Because – yeah, we would discard it as soiled merchandise.
You know, stains. Tony, that's actually a good idea. I think stores ought to, for a small fee, allow people who bought gifts from them to be alerted if they were returned.
Ah.
You see how that works?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So
recipients are punished.
That's right.
I like
that's
that.
That's right.
And also, you know, we are going to be having another complaints from our listeners coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's very popular with
it's
the listeners.
Popular.
We do not know why. But this is one that I think should be free of complaints because it's about your romantic lives.
Yeah, and shellfish. Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's subtitled For the Love of Mollusks for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We went out of our way to make sure that shellfish were in some way, shape, or form the central motif of every one of our segments today.
There is no escaping the mollusk. In fact, if you feel something tugging your socks down a bit, it's a mollusk.
That's a great image.
It is.
I really – it's like, what is that down?
You it's expect the slimy residue.
Yeah, you expect to see a little varmint, but it's actually
– it's a mollusk.
It's a shellfish. Yeah,
yeah
that's
yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah.
So should we talk about the actual segments?
We need to do that very quickly. First, we have one-on-one couples therapy where we sit in on a therapy session with the therapist and just one person. It's the person in the couple who's causing the problems.
Yeah, that's really the only person that needs to show up, let's face it.
Right. And what's next, Kevin?
After that, we have a message from our sponsor. You may remember a few episodes back, we talked about shingles, which is a great product for those of you that chew chaw. And I Love Shingles is the name of the commercial for today. So
yeah,
it's
the can after you dump out the shingles corn-based snack product has a lot of a lot of good uses.
After that, we're going to return to the world of animals with Annabeth Miserable in Animal Adversions. And on this episode, she gets a surprise guest, a human animal, her mm-hmm. stepmother, Wendy.
Yes, there are tensions.
Yeah, yeah. To say the least.
Yeah, the hair on the back of everyone's neck should start to rise in anticipation.
And finally, we return to the magical world or semi-magical world of Papa Gilder. And today's story that Papa tells is Kim Jong-un's terrible, disappointing Valentine's Day. So that should be fun.
It's a disaster, but you will enjoy it if you're that kind of person.
Or if you're a fan of Paul Lynde. Now it's time for one-on-one couples therapy with Dr. Mike. Let's join Dr. Mike now for the first ever live broadcast of a private therapy session with Dr. Mike and his new patient, whom we'll call Jason Postlewell, who's come to see Dr. Mike for couples therapy.
So, Jason, let's get warmed up here. What do you hope to get out of couples therapy?
Well, actually, Dr. Mike, I thought since it's couples therapy that my wife Jill would be joining us.
What I hear you saying, Jason, is that you feel uncomfortable without your wife around as support, both social and emotional.
I don't know about that, Dr. Mike, but we are married, even though we're going through a rough patch. And I just thought that since it's couples therapy, that we'd be talking through things together.
What I'm hearing, again, is a lot of anxiety about being separated from your wife, uncertainty about being able to manage without her. When was the last time you saw Jill?
This morning, at breakfast. But
that's less than 8 hours ago. Is that really too long a period to be separated from your wife? Do you hear how needy this sounds to me, a trained professional? Can you imagine, perhaps, how needy and desperate you sound to Jill?
Needy? What do you mean? Hey, I thought this was couples therapy. Have you even met Jill yet?
That's okay, Jason. Let it out. Anxiety and defensiveness to cover up the needy desperation I hear you feeling are normal, natural, even necessary. And by Jill, I only meant the person you're apparently married to, a person who, from what I hear you saying, has a lot to deal with at home, at least when you're there.
So I really come off as needy?
That's good. That's very good. Let it come.
Because I think what I really feel is anger. I feel bullied and manipulated at home. I mean, Jill's great. We love each other. But there's the bullying and the manipulation. It's hard to get used to.
What I hear you saying, then, is that you're uncomfortable with a few features in your marriage, but you're largely quite satisfied, that you're interested in being a better husband to Jill.
Well, I guess. Maybe. But I still think I might be angry about the bullying and manipulation. Like the way she hides my socks and underwear. Well, all my clothes, come to think of it. When it's her turn to do the laundry, she does her own clothes, but stuffs mine in a plastic bag and dumps it out by the curb with the recycling.
Well, Jason, let's look at these episodes dispassionately, with complete detachment. Is she really hiding your clothes? I mean, they're in plain sight for all the world to see. Sometimes, when we're needy and desperate, we can be held back in our emotional progress by lapsing into paranoid overreaction.
Okay, Dr. Mike, so I guess she's not hiding them, but...
Good, good. Admitting our missteps is the first step in reascending the staircase of our life's journey. Now, Jason, have you considered that maybe Jill's laundry behavior is a cry for help?
Well, no. I thought she was just weird and mean. When I asked her why she kept throwing out my clothes, she just said she was tired of looking at them.
What I hear you wishing you had said is that you now realize that you've fallen into a rut in how you relate to Jill.
A rut? What do you mean?
This new spirit of inquiry is putting you on the right path, Jason. Good. But let's look hard at the rut you've dug yourself into, a rut that seems to have made you oblivious to Jill's needs.
So when she dumps my clothes out on the curb, it means that she's grown bored with...
Your tired, drab little personality, yes.
Well, I was going to say bored with domestic routine.
But with the good work we've been doing today, I think we both know you meant your tired, drab little personality.
But what do I do?
I think what's behind that question is the real question. What can I, Jason, do to better accommodate Jill's needs and desires?
Well, but what are they? How do you know?
Jason, I don't hear you listening to yourself. Have you ever thought of asking her this simple question? Jill, darling, tell me what you want. I'll give you anything you want, anything you ask. What do you want? How can I best surrender every waking moment to securing your satisfaction and happiness? I don't care about myself. I only care about you.
Is that really a question, Dr. Mike?
Since you don't know the answer, it's best if you hear it as a question. It's part of the spirit of inquiry you're so eager to work on. But we're out of time for today. I just hope you're not out of time with Jill.
Okay, Dr. Mike. But wow, you've given me a lot to think about. I had no idea. How much do I owe you for this session?
Oh, don't worry about that. Jill phoned in the payment this morning.
Join us next time for One-on-One Couples Therapy when we'll hear Dr. Mike say...
That's it. Let it out. Let it all out. Jill's much better off without you.
If you're hearing this message, you're listening to the award-eligible comedy program Men in Charge. Now, just continue doing that.
Today's episode of Men in Charge is brought to you by Shingles, the corn-based snack product housed in a cardboard tube. How many times has this happened to you? Your wife or husband is grilling you about the need to have a spittoon in the house when...
I know you don't like it, dear, but look, I've got you a cute card in a pink envelope for Valentine's Day.
Get that out of my face. Do you have to keep the spittoon in the house? Why can't it be in the freestanding man cave building out behind the pool?
I need one there too, darling. I do chew, you know. Now, I think you've forgotten what day it is, honey.
Why does it have to be right at the front door? I swear, someone's going to step in it. Or Bowser will knock it right over. Or worse.
Let's forget about all that for now, dear. Look at this cuddly polka dot teddy bear and chocolates that I have. Just for you. And any moment now...
Let myself in, Nedler and Deirdre.
Oh, you've stepped in it now, Postman Irwin. Thanks for delivering Deirdre's flowers, though.
I told you something like this would happen.
Nedler, I'm gonna sue you, and so will the Postman's Union.
Ho, 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 what a pickle, right? A pint of brown chaw in your mouth, and no way to dispose of it except that unsightly and unspeakable spittoon. Instead, Nedler should have used a tube of shingles, the corn-based snack product of identically shaped corn-based chips nestled snugly on top of one another. Just open the tube of shingles, empty its contents into the pet python's cage to give Bowser a special treat, and spit. Shingles may be a partially impermeable spittoon that can easily contain several mouths full of even the most acidic tobacco spinnings for up to 45 minutes.
Oh, Nedler, you must really love me if you're getting rid of that loathsome spittoon and using shingles instead. And these flowers, chocolates, teddy bear, and card are delicious.
Well, it is Valentine's Day. Thanks, shingles.
Guinevere Spayhastener. The Federal Aviation Administration imposes serious fines for not listening to an entire episode of Men in Charge. Don't make me stop the car, listener.
Listeners, don't worry, you're not hearing a ghostly voice out of the ether, so don't adjust your self-medication schedule. It's me, Annabeth Miserable, with a new edition of Animal Adversions. Dare I say welcome? Yes, welcome.
Hello, everybody. It's Jamie, the engineer, and we've got a special guest on today's Animal Adversions. That'll be a surprise, even for Annabeth.
Who is it? My best friend Heather? Who's engineering today? That's too disgusting, even for Jamie the engineer. Oh, that's right. You're the new engineer who used to be a morning shock jock on that pop station.
That's right, it's me, Jorge, the crazy engineer from WSJJ in San Jose.
You worked in San Jose?
or Cetaphe. Who can remember anymore after a career based on, like, a million Bloody Marys?
I still don't know who our guest is.
Hey, Annabeth, what do you call an exploding monkey?
I don't know. What do you call an exploding monkey?
A baboom!
The guest. Is he slash she slash it an animal? That is, after all, what this show was originally intended to be about. You know, radio listener, when I, Annabeth Miserable, a single woman small business owner of Pets, Pets, Pets and Things, first came up with the...
Your surprise guest, Annabeth, is more animal than vegetable or mineral. Say hello to your estranged stepmother, Wendy!
Thank you, Jorge the Engineer. Annabeth, it's so nice to finally be invited on your program. I listen to every episode, and as often as you mention me, I'm surprised it took the activism of your new radio engineer to get me here.
Oh.
Aren't you gonna welcome Wendy, Annabeth?
What do you want me to say, Jorge the Engineer? How's Dad, Wendy?
Well, I can imagine you'd be curious about how Howard is doing, since it's been so long since you've called.
Wendy, I heard you mention something about a heart attack on the phone when we arranged your visit today.
What? Dad?
Yes, as you'll recall, you left your gerbil, Fernando Maximilian, in our care, Annabeth. He recently had a heart attack. Oh, of course, you would have known that if you had even called.
Hey, Annabeth! Is there anything you want to say to your estranged stepmother, Wendy, right here on the radio?
You know, new engineer from Santa Fe.
San Jose!
Whatever. I've learned enough from hosting a radio animal show that, admittedly, hasn't had any animals on it, not to take your bait. I'm not going to sink to your level. In fact, I see what you're doing here.
He's shocking your program's jock.
Give that woman a Bloody Mary!
He's taking everything you've built here, chewing it up and spitting it out. You'd fire him immediately if you had any chutzpah.
I've got chutzpah in spades, Wendy. Jorge, you're fired.
Surely you jest, mineth lady.
And since you were kind enough to point out that I built this empire of pets, Wendy, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the studio unless...
Unless what?
Unless you've brought an animal.
For you to cast your animal aversions aspersions upon?
Come on, Wendy. Even you don't know what that means.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do have a limpet with me today in my purse.
She asked you to leave, Wendy. On the way out, don't let the door hit you on the...
Shut up, Jorge the Engineer. Wendy, could I see the limpet?
Of course. Let's see here. Now that Gucci makes a bag with a watertight compartment, I can take limpets, mussels, whelks, even clams with me on the go. Yes, right here. Not one, but two limpets.
Listeners, the limpet is a marine mollusk with a shallow conical shell and a broad muscular foot found clinging tightly to rocks. Wendy, they're beautiful.
You really respect limpets, young lady. I really didn't know you had grown into that level of maturity.
And I didn't know we had a common passion for mollusks.
Well, don't expect a messy hug, young Annabeth. Emotions aren't proper between ladies.
Wendy, I want to genuinely thank you for bringing the first animals to an episode of Animal Adversions. And I really thought your coming on the show was going to turn out differently. But next time, please call ahead first.
Ha! That's rich coming from you. You know, if your father knew how you were living, he'd have a heart attack like Fernando Maximilian. You never changed Fernando Maximilian's litter of
cigarettes. Jorge the Engineer?
Yes?
Do your thing.
Righto, boss.
You always smelled of cigarettes when you came in after a night of carousing at the old widow woman's goat farm in Pettysburg. Then you used your trust fund money right when you turned 21 in order to finance what?
Coming up next, a list of things that aren't coming up next on Men in Charge.
Children, come to the radio. No, it's not The Shadow or Amos and Andy. It's time for Papa Gilder. Your magic mirror and imagine yourself into the world of Papa Gilder. He lives far beyond the land of Nod, whiling away his days with whistling, yodeling, and hot Ashtanga yoga. But we can always find him napping under the tum-tum trees. Papa Gilder is wise beyond his years because he's the one with the large tome of morally ambiguous fairy tales. Let's see if Papa will read us another one today.
Hello! Hello, children. What do you say to hearing another morally ambiguous fairy tale? Tell Mom and Dad to leave the room and hang their head in shame over their Boilermaker doubles. Papa Gilder has got a tale just for you. This one is called Kim Jong-un's Disappointing Valentine's Day. Are we sitting comfortably? Then let's begin. Once upon a time, in a distant land known as North Korea, there was an unhappy boy named Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un's retainers constantly told him that he ruled the world. Kim Jong-un was happy about that. Every day, his advisor and clown prince of basketball, Dennis Rodman, would tell Kim Jong-un how great he was.
Dear leader, who is a perfect incarnation of the appearance that a leader should have, I love your new hairdo.
But instead of mutually complimenting Dennis Rodman on his new feather boa and grills, Kim Jong-un said woefully, "Dennis, at the end of the day, every day, I weep."
Hey, that's no problem, son of the communist future. We just need to find you a girlfriend. Or a dude if you swing that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Kim Jong-un was having an awakening to the possibility of his own happiness. A girl, he muttered aloud, really?
But what woman would be both deserving of and completely accommodating to the son of the shining star of Pike Two Mountain? Oh, fate of the nation, I pose to you this quote-unquote rhetorical question, which you already know the answer to, my glorious general who descended from heaven.
Kim Jong-un thought long and hard about that. At first, Susan Sarandon came to mind. but his mind was quickly diverted by the felt need to shoot a nuclear ICBM out over the Pacific, since it's next week now. And then, to his recollection, that Dennis Rodman was notoriously obsequious and not to be trusted.
So he turned to his second most trusted advisor, comedian Paul Lind.
That's my line, Dennis Rodman. And to be clear, it's still unknown why Paul Lind defected to North Korea, taking with him the deepest secrets of the hilariously decadent Hollywood squares.
Beloved father, ever victorious iron-willed commander, I've used our heavily firewalled North Korean version of the internet to seek out your perfect match, and she's a dilly.
What is her name? Kim Jong-un asked eagerly. Is she pretty? Is it Susan Sarandon?
No, it's not, son of the shining star of Paetu Mountain.
Rodman's already used that one, Kim Jong-un testily told Paul Lind.
This is like the time that Gene Rayburn got ticked off at my sassing and forced me to host Match Game. But I see here on our heavily censored North Korean version of Tinder that her name is Eliza Norchman. And look at this sizzling picture. Now there's an egg I'd like to poach.
Contact her via the underground North Korean pneumatic mail system immediately, Kim Jong-un barked. He was particularly delighted because today was the only American holiday he recognized, Valentine's Day. Eliza Norchman would be his.
I hate to tell you this, great seven-layer burrito of the Shining East, but I just checked out this Eliza Norchman on American Google, and she's a fake profile. That's no dice.
Kim Jong-un, his voice quavering, asked Dennis Rodman what a fake profile was on the heavily censored North Korean version of Tinder. An hour later, and satisfied with the explanation, Kim Jong-un had Dennis Rodman brutally executed for breaching the People's Great Firewall in order to access American Google.
Well, better him than me.
So that's the end of our tale, boys and girls. I hope its moral will be crystal clear to all of you. And even if it's not, you've got to admit it makes more sense than the end of Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. Have a fun and anti-fascist day, boys and girls.
And that's all for our morally ambiguous fairy tales today, kids. Tune in next week when Papa Gilder tells the story of men in charge in a Humvee through Bulgaria. Happy yodeling!
A semi-begrudging thanks to our large cast for today's episode: Joan Harrison, Bob Harrison, Liz Rognes, Ryan Weldon, Betsy Lawrence, Mimi Marinucci, Steve Lloyd, Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, Nancy Roth, and Colin the Canceller Ormsby. And special thanks to Scott Herrick for writing support.
And the three people who make up the trio when we need a trio: Vern Windham, Carrie Boyce, and the man who has already looked through your belongings, Brian Lindsay.